As all political eyes focus on the Tuesday midterm election, since New Jersey's statewide elections don't fire up until the odd number of years, it meant business as usual for the State House in Trenton, but that doesn't mean Tuesday's results don't have an impact on the state, especially when you consider the ballot questions. Here to talk about that and other matters in this past week is the Assemblywoman from New Jersey's 24th District, Allison McGoes. How are you this week?
Good morning. Doing well, thanks.
And let us start off with, as mentioned in the introduction, one of the ballot questions, and it's the one that would be whether the taxpayers support a constitutional amendment dedicating a portion of the state's corporate business tax to create a steady stream of funding to preserve open space. Now, this is one of those cases where, much like many ballot questions, a superficial appearance versus the mechanics of the ballot question paint two different pictures.
Right. This sounds good on the surface. And in years past, New Jersey has been very supportive of preserving open space lands and keeping, New Jersey's green and garden state image. However, this ballot question is a little more complicated than that.
One of the concerns, this is from the Department of Environmental Protection, they're saying that it would seriously undermine existing DEP programs that protect the environment and would basically put the DEP state programs existing in a bidding competition for new ideas, and thereby placing, scrolling down here, you get a list here, hazardous site remediation, like publicly funded cleanups, state matching funds for federal Superfund site cleanups, the water resources programs would be at risk, include monitoring water quality in the ocean, Barnegat Bay, monitoring patrolling shellfish waters, monitoring water supplies in the state aquifers, AmeriCorps watershed ambassadors program. So it seems like it's almost where, you know, what would be the deciding factor in what would be at risk and what would be funded with a limited amount of money, given the business climate, too, certainly of the state and more businesses leaving, that would they're estimating $7 million in revenue from this idea. But we all know that revenue projections and realities are also two very different things.
Right. And, you know, the difficulty here is that, you know, DEP really needs these resources to keep vital programs going. And if we take that money away, we will, the consumers that use the parks and forests will certainly feel the results of that. And permitting and all kinds of things that really impact the consumers and the constituents may be greatly affected. So I think, you know, this one you have to think long and hard. It also, the other part that troubles me about this ballot question is the bonding and the length of time, and it's sort of a 30-year bonding plan, which is a long, long time. I understand, again, the need for preserving open space, but at the same time, do we want to put ourselves in that much more debt and also jeopardize a major department in the state?
And add to that, the current projects already are facing a $400 million backlog. So, again, further complicating that entire issue. So that's something to ponder as you think about that ballot question. State pension certainly is a point of focus, and no doubt will be as we get into the, as I mentioned, next year being a campaign season for the state races. And State Senate President Stephen Sweeney, Democrat from Gloucester, said that the state, which by law is supposed to fund the pension system 100% by 2018, should instead focus on getting the pension system 85% funded. His line of logic is that will put it in line with private sector plans that are considered healthy. Yet if you did that, the state plan would still be underfunded by $40 billion.
Yes. And, you know, again, like you really pegged it by saying this is about the political season. You know, Sweeney's teeing up to run for governor next year. So basically what he's trying to say is I'm not going to push for an unrealistic goal of 100% funding. I'd be happy with 85%. Clearly, he wants to, garner votes from the state employees by saying, you know, we need to fund the pensions at a higher number than we are now. But at the same time, he doesn't explain where the money will come from and how he will do that in his budget or in a future budget.
And this is Senator Sweeney trying to be Mr. Happy here. The governor paints a very bleak picture by saying, look at what a big hole we're in. Governor's focus is basing everything on us being fully funded, and that's, at least in Sweeney's eyes, not a realistic number, but $40 billion hole. He apparently thinks that's a realistic number.
Yeah, it's definitely a bleak. I agree with the Governor Christie that it is bleak. It's not a rosy picture right now.
Talking with Assemblywoman Allison McCose on the web, it's AllisonMcCose.com. The State House is njledge.state.nj.us, and you are listening to Issues and Ideas. A pair of bills that would subject the Port Authority of New York and New Jersey to a lot more open public record laws, protect whistleblowers, and require more fine detailed annual reports to lawmakers. Yeah, they're making their way through the legislative process. A3350 would subject the Port Authority to New York and New Jersey state freedom of information laws, and 3417 that contains provisions including mandatory annual reports to both states' legislatures, whistleblower protections for employees who report what they believe to be impropriety. Is this an offshoot of what's been discovered from the George Washington Bridge, Bridgegate, I guess is the vernacular term that just put a spotlight on the gaping holes of oversight for the Port Authority?
No, this was introduced long before the troubles in Fort Lee. This was about the fact that the Port Authority, of our largest they call them quasi independent agencies. The budget that they have is so tremendous, and there were great concerns that how the money was being spent. So this was a really, really good bill. I was on it early, and I believe in transparency. I believe in having more accountability, and I understand. Maybe the legislative intent when these quasi-independent agencies were created was that they could function on their own, but at some point you have to make sure we have more checks and balances, and that's what this bill will do.
And this runs counter to an idea that Democratic Assemblyman John Wisniewski had. His legislation would have reduced the governors of the board, the Port Authority, to from 12 down to 3, and giving lawmakers and the Citizens Advisory Committee the rest of the oversight and power. It would strip the governors of their veto power over board actions. Wisniewski's bill also does contain reporting public records and whistleblower measures, but even state senators are saying, as far as Wisniewski's ideas, DOA dead on arrival.
Yeah, his idea, I don't think we'll see the light of day. And, as I indicated, I think the bill that just passed is a very good start, at least, and we have more to do, but definitely this is a good start.
Wrap up with an annual report that's done by the Tax Foundation. It's called their State Business Tax Climate Index, and for the third time in 4 years, New Jersey is number 50, right behind New York, which is number 49. If you break down the numbers, New Jersey ranks 41st lowest in corporate tax rate, meaning the most intrusive and overbearing, 48th in individual income tax, 48th in sales, 32nd in unemployment insurance tax, and probably the surprise of nobody, 50th in property taxes. So again, with next year being an election year, how can the Democrats, who have been in the leadership of the Assembly and the Senate, defend those statistics?
Well, they're going to try to blame Chris Christie for everything, I'm sure. And unfortunately, that's not the reality, because they, as you correctly indicated, have been in control of the legislature for over a decade, and clearly they are responsible for these onerous taxes, and these taxes are part of the reason why businesses have been leaving New Jersey and in turn taking their employees with them and their charitable contributions. So we've got a lot to do. I wish I knew the answer. I don't have a magic wand. It's not Halloween today, but, hopefully we can make strides and get from the bottom of the list a little bit higher.
In case you were wondering, the top 10 states in this report, they mean the best for tax environment: Wyoming, South Dakota, Nevada, Alaska, Florida, Montana, New Hampshire, Indiana, Utah, and Texas. If you're thinking of moving and looking for a friendlier turf, there's some ideas for you. And if you want to share your thoughts on what we talked about here with the Assemblywoman, you can do that at AllisonMcHose.com. Keep on top of the action at the State House. It's njledge.state.nj.us. She is the Assemblywoman for New Jersey's 24th District, Allison McHose. We'll talk again next week.
Thank you, and have a great Sunday.